Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yes! Oh, it is! It is! The Alex Donald Show on a Football Friday, a Dolphins Friday, here on WQAM. Streaming all over the internet, WQAM.com, radio.com on the computer, radio.com app on your smartphone, however you listen. We appreciate your patronage tonight. If you'd like to get in, share your infinite wisdom with us via the phone lines, 305-567-0560, 954-567-0560, pound 560 on your cellular. You can get at us on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line at 56022, but please don't text and drive. I thought it was impossible for me last night. I talked a little bit about that Thursday night matchup, you know, before the game started, heading into it. And I was just going to kick my feet up, watch, and hope for a tie, right? Because I can't cheer for the New York Jets, the history, the stinking Jets, all the New Yorkers that pollute this city around this time of year when the snowbirds start heading down. I despise the New York stinking Jets. But I also despise Cleveland for reasons that it's hard for me to even explain. Many of them have to do with LeBron James and the fans that he had and has up there, right? And it was fun watching that team lose and tie for the last couple of years, right? The fact that it had been over 600 days, 635, I think, since the Cleveland Browns had won a game. I don't know, man. It was fun rooting for that team to lose. It was fun rooting for that fridge of beer to stay padlocked, right? All the fridges of beer that finally opened in Cleveland for free Bud Lights for Cleveland fans when they finally won a game. Just something about it. And Jarvis Landry also doesn't help. I mean, you do have some Canes on that team. It was nice watching David Njoku and Duke Johnson make plays. So, okay, I probably shouldn't hate the Cleveland Browns as much as I do. Despite that, though, despite going into that game thinking, I am rooting for a tie because I can't stand either of these teams, I maybe found myself not so much rooting for the Browns during that comeback victory, but I was rooting for Baker Mayfield. Anyone else feel the same way? I mean, just going by my social media timelines, I know I'm not alone on that. I mean, Mayfield, when he came in, was positively slinging it. And, you know, at the risk of sounding like a prisoner of the moment based on his first NFL action, because things could still, I guess, go terribly wrong from here. But I'll tell you one thing. He does not look like Johnny Football 2.0. You can take that to the bank. Baker Mayfield looks like he will be, and maybe already is, pretty damn legit. I mean, just the command he has, the tempo, rushing up to the line of scrimmage, quick decisions, the velocity and the accuracy on his throws. He is just a fun player to watch, and he throws a damn good football. I found myself throughout that game, even when Jarvis Landry was making big plays, Jarvis Landry threw a touchdown pass to Baker Mayfield. What do you call that, the Cleveland special, that play that they ran?
They said it was the Baker special.
The Baker special. I like that. I like that even better. The Baker's dozen. No, but just like watching him not only sling touchdown passes, but catch a touchdown pass last night. Like I found myself actually standing up and rooting for the Cleveland Browns to win that game. I feel like I was primarily rooting for Baker and for the Canes on that team. And I was rooting against the Jets. But I had fun watching a Thursday night game against two bad teams in a way I never thought I could. I mean, it can't just be me. And you're thinking, watching that game last night, man, why did that dude's draft stock have to rise so quickly, right? If he could have fallen out of that top 10, he'd be a Miami Dolphin right now, Mayfield, right? I mean, it's still to me, it doesn't seem logical just based on all the pre-draft hype and reports. It still doesn't seem logical that Baker Mayfield should have been the number one overall pick But he looked every bit of it yesterday. And you know Adam Gase was in love with that dude. Bought him dinner several times during the pre-draft process. Could not stop talking about Baker Mayfield and his attitude and his skill set and how he has the attributes and the arm strength and the precision to fit into Adam Gase's offense. Kind of makes you wonder, what if? Right? Like if we were living in some parallel universe where the top 10 teams in the draft kind of all agreed, yeah, this is a good player, but he's really short. It's a bit of a loose cannon off the field. You know, enjoys the party a little bit. Not to Johnny Manziel levels, but enjoys the party a little bit. We might want to stay away from this undersized quarterback with some question marks. I mean, if he could have fallen out of that top 10, he'd be a Miami Dolphin right now. Right? Right now. And I can sometimes be a Ryan Tannehill apologist. Don't get me wrong. But it doesn't mean I'd rather have 30-year-old Ryan Tannehill and 23-year-old Baker Mayfield. So watching that Browns game last night, I still don't think the Browns are good. I still don't think they make the playoffs. But they've got a quarterback of the future. They do. Where we're not even sure if we have a quarterback of the present. But it seems like the Browns finally got their guy. Like in a weird way, I'm almost happy for them. Almost. I'm not going to go so far. And the fact that their first victory in 635 days happened to come against the New York Jets, I'm all right with that. Oh, I apologize. That was a two-point conversion. Texter writes in, first off, it was a two-point conversion. Secondly, don't be such a hater. Remember that karma is a bee. I'm a huge Dolphins fan. But don't be hating on anybody except the Jets and New England and Buffalo. So you're telling me I should be all right with every other team? I hate everybody that doesn't wear the Dolphins jersey. I'm not a fan of any NFL team except my own. I'm not. Imagine if the Dolphins trade RT17 and Devontae Parker for Baker Mayfield. Well, first of all, the Browns front office, not a great history, but they'd have to be high and drunk to make that trade. Sorry. There are not enough drugs in Cleveland to make a bad decision like that, my friends. 560-22 is how you get in on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line. And via the phone lines at 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. Should I even bother doing my weekend predictions tonight? It's a Friday tradition for me. Dono's top three weekend predictions. Hi, Aaliyah Hector. Did you happen to keep score as to how I did on my predictions a week ago? And keeping in mind that very consistently, I've been doing these weekend predictions for got to be close to a year at this point. On Fridays, very consistently, I get 2 out of 3 correct. It's almost a guarantee. 66% of the time, it works every time. But did you happen to keep track of how my weekend predictions came out last week?
Yes, I did, because I was watching Man U beat on Watford.
Right.
And I tweeted to you about it, said, well, you get at least 2 of 3. Right. Then Miami was up at halftime, so possibly 1. And you didn't get the last one with the Dolphins, so.
Yeah. Here were the 3 predictions that I made last week. Big goose egg on the scoreboard for me. I predicted the New York Jets would hold the Miami Dolphins to under 100 yards team rushing. I said the Dolphins would win, and they did, but that wasn't the official prediction. The official prediction was the Jets would hold us to under 100 yards. We had 135 as a team. Second prediction was, and I got a lot of heat for this, and a lot of I told you so's afterwards. I thought much like a season ago when these two teams met, I predicted that Toledo would have a halftime lead over the Miami Hurricanes, that Miami would go on to win, as they did, but I predicted Toledo would have a halftime lead. Wrong on that one. And yeah, as you mentioned, I'll admit I was trolling your club a little bit. I was trolling Man United a bit, saying that that Watford would get that ass and get that W on Saturday, and I was completely wrong about that as well.
We're supposed to be on the same team here, man. We had a good week of Champions League.
A great week of Champions League.
Now you know not to do that again.
Yeah, I'm going to know not to troll you. Texter writes in, dude, so the Browns have a franchise quarterback after 1 win? I've had great feelings about Baker since he was at Oklahoma, though. And I mentioned, at the risk of sounding like a prisoner of the moment, I think Baker Mayfield is really, really good, man. And I found myself rooting for him last night. I think that, you know, we'll see if his lack of height, being about 6 foot tall, really comes to undermine the rest of his career. But I think that he has the poise. I think he has the quick decision-making, throws a very good football, very quick release, looked accurate yesterday, looked accurate at Oklahoma. I think Baker Mayfield is going to be a damn good quarterback. Here's some of the things I want to see tomorrow when the Hurricanes take on University of Miami Light, FIU. When the Hurricanes take on the safety school tomorrow. When Miami takes on the school for people who don't have the grades or the trust fund to go to Miami. I want to see Malik Rozier's confidence and poise continue to rise, right? And again, I'm very shaky on Malik Rozier, as most of you are. But the guy that we saw against Toledo is the Rozier we need every week. And I want Malik to actually go through his progressions from now on. You notice this about Malik, that too many times he'll lock down on one receiver, and if that guy's not open, he'll take off and run time and time again. You know, I know that he's not known as a pocket passer, but doesn't throw many attributes of a pocket passer out there, if I can speak. I was listening to Crowder butcher the English language at the end of the Hockman and Crowder show. I read a great piece at stateoftheu.com where they made a strong case for more targets for Lawrence Cager. Lawrence Cager is money on third down, and he's 6 foot bleeping five, this guy. For the record, FIU's tallest cornerback is 6 foot even. Their other starter is 5'11". If you can't find a way to get some jump balls out there on third down and in the red zone to 6 foot five Lawrence Cager, you're not doing your job correctly if you cannot get that guy more involved than he has been, because he is money on third down and can be in the red zone as well. Is this going to be the Amari Carter game? You know, the unfortunate news yesterday that Jaquan Johnson is sidelined for this game with a hamstring issue. Amari Carter did not play in Toledo because he was he did not travel because of the death of a family member, but he is back this week. He's the next man up. I want to see Amari Carter put on the turnover chain tomorrow. And I want to see Gerald Willis continue to dominate. He's got an interesting one-on-one matchup tomorrow. He's going to go up against most likely offensive guard Ryan Budwig from FIU. 6'4", 324 pounds, that offensive guard. I'm expecting Willis to get the better of this matchup, but it's not going to be an easy one. And, of course, you know, the storyline to trump all other storylines in this game, it's the Butch Davis Bowl. Right? I mean, Butch Davis has faced Miami before. And in fact, Butch Davis has a damn good record against Miami, 3-1 as head coach at North Carolina. But something about this feels a little bit extra special with Butch Davis on the sidelines of another team from South Florida, right? Like, to me, it's a little bit spicier to have Butch Davis come in as head coach of the FIU Panthers. Also keeping in mind that Ken Dorsey is the assistant AD now at FIU. Right? And I would love to have Ken Dorsey coaching some quarterbacks down here for either the pro team or the college team. I'm just saying. But he's doing his thing now at FIU. So Butch Davis, he had that magic elixir against Miami during his time at North Carolina. This is a good question. We're going to talk with Omar Kelly in the upcoming segment. Texter says, how do you rate your hatred of the AFC East teams? I'm a traditionalist. Oh, it's Jordan Budwig, not Ryan Budwig. FIU fanboy corrected me. I apologize. Budwig is going to be a tough matchup. I'm a traditionalist. My primary hatred, if I'm ranking AFC East teams, I always go Jets number one. You know, 10 years ago, I would have gone Bills number two. But New England's success makes it hard to go against that. So I go Jets number one, Patriots number two, most hated, Bills a very close number three. I despise all of them. We're going to talk to a guy that I do not despise. Omar Kelly is coming up next. But, guys, I want to talk about Kendall and West Kendall Toyota. With the best deals, this week, anyone looking to buy a car, you are in luck, my friends. The best-selling brand in South Florida with the best price and service dealerships are all at Kendall. Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota. Everyone knows this. Guys, they are, in my opinion, the best dealerships to get a new Toyota. The deals there are insane. 2018 clearance sale pricing is going on right now. Like the Toyota Camry LE and the RAV4 XLE. Your choice, either one, for $165 a month. right? Like, you've never seen a monthly payment that low for a car that great. You know Toyota makes reliable, fun to drive cars. They're some of the best in the business, my friends. $165 a month. This is for a brand new Toyota. That works out to less than $6 a day. And there are some cups of coffee that will run you $6 at this point, right? For the price of an expensive cup of coffee, you can get an amazing price per day on a brand new Toyota. It's a tremendous deal. You can get this deal by going to either dealership or go online right now. Just like the name, KendallToyota.com and WestKendallToyota.com can build this deal in minutes and drive off with a new Toyota by the time of your next meal. 0% interest for 60 months. That's 5 years, people. Log on now to KendallToyota.com or WestKendallToyota.com. That's KendallToyota.com or WestKendallToyota.com. It is all at Kendall. Back here on the Alex Dono Show, 560 WQAM. Dolphins and Raiders this Sunday, 1 p.m. at Hard Rock Stadium. Dolphins trying to go 3-0, man. Go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Another Friday tradition. In addition to me giving you bad weekend predictions, this is the good part of a Friday tradition. Omar Kelly joins us now. Omar, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. And so, let me ask you.
Let me hold on. Let me tell you this.
Okay.
So it's a Friday evening. I went out last night, so I'm trying to take it easy tonight.
Okay.
No plans. And my fiance's down south visiting her nephews and her sister. So I'm like, I don't know what to do with myself. And you know what I'm doing? A Friday evening? You know what I'm doing?
You're talking to me.
Other than talking to you. I'm gardening.
You're gardening? I saw you tweet out a picture of some flowers last week. Did you ever figure out what those are?
Yeah, they told me what they are. They're some type of rose. They really grow up north. I got to figure out if they can grow down here well. Sometimes it's a weather issue. But they're beautiful. My fiance liked them, so.
I am always fascinated by just the many sides of Omar Kelly, because I think sometimes people try and paint you with a broad brush. This is, you know, he's just a sports guy. He's a sports reporter. I mean, the fact that you're really into things like cooking and gardening. How did you get into gardening? How did that become an interest of yours?
You know what's funny? My mom, when I grew up, my mom was a 4-H activities coordinator. I don't know if you know what 4-H is, but it's like the unification of Boys and Girls Club, and they teach kids arts and crafts, sewing, gardening. It's mostly something that's in areas where populated by country, you know, farming towns and stuff like that. But they do have it in the city. And my mom used to work in like cities like Liberty City and Overtown, teaching kids how to sew and teaching kids about gardening and raising a pig. And I used to have pigs. I used to have rabbits. So I was the green thumb. My brother, I'm into cooking too. They taught us how to cook. I'm into cooking too, but I'm really into gardening.
Okay, so I got to ask you, when you talk about raising pigs and rabbits, did you ever eat the ones that you raise? Was it that kind of a situation?
You know, what you would do is you would sell them to the Publix at the U Fair. Publix would buy them at the U Fair. So, you know, your pig is at the store.
So do you try not to get too attached? Like, do you name them or do you just say, you know, that's pig one and pig two?
They're just money. You give them a name, but they're just money. You don't get attached.
Oh, man. See, I feel like it, and I eat the hell out of some meat, Omar. I have no issues with that, but I feel like it's so easy for me because I just get like the pre-sliced meat at the grocery store. If I actually had the meat like living in my backyard, I might be a vegan because I think that'd be tough for me.
Nah, I like meat too much. it's going to be delicious.
So how much stock should I be buying in the Dolphins at 2-0? Is this the type of 2-0 where you have to be extremely suspicious, or are you thinking, you know what, they're 2-0, man?
You should appreciate every single victory in the NFL because they're very hard to get. A lot of times one injury can sort of decimate a team's future. And the Dolphins have had some injuries that could have really challenged them in terms of the early season progression of this team. Josh Sitton, Marquise Gray. I mean, you've already lost two starters in the first two games, And and really three, because you haven't had Devontae Parker. I'm not sure many teams can say that. But, you know, right now, I think what I've liked about it is they're showing me that there's a genuine attempt to create an identity change. There's a genuine attempt to create the offense that is ideally envisioned for Ryan Tannehill that I've been begging for during the Joe Philbin era. You can kind of sense that Adam Gase figured it out midway through his first season with Ryan. But there's an evolution going on. I want to see if it can be sustained. You know, it's one thing to, you know, and watching the Jets just absolutely challenge Cleveland and give them some fits physically up front when they didn't do that against Miami, I said to myself, wow, that's pretty promising. That means Miami can be pretty good on the offensive line. Certain hints, like it's too early to tell what an NFL team is until probably week six, but this is off to a good start.
Devontae Parker, how easy will it be for Gase just to plug him back in, and who does he take most of the snaps away from?
Well, what people have to understand about this receiving core is that, one, Devontae is a valuable asset because everybody serves a critical role in that offense. You know, Kenny Stills is a spacer. He keeps things open for everybody because he takes a safety with him when he goes downfield. You know, Jakeem Grant, you know, people are so fearful of his speed, they give him 7 yards cushion. And you know, he's a run after catch type of guy. Albert Wilson is a physical player that they sort of use in a running back role. He is an important element. Hell, he runs the Wildcat out of the offense right now. And then there's Devontae Parker. When you face teams like the Jets, who pride themselves in their physicality and their press coverage, you're going to need a big physical receiver to get off that jam and run that hard slant and run that 15-yard out and run that comeback and run that curl. And that's what he does. Those are the kind of players that create first downs and move the chains. And so understand where everybody is and what they do. Now, in terms of a snap count, I think you'll see everybody take maybe 10 less snaps to make up Devontae Parker's 30 or 40 snaps. But everybody comes off the field. Everybody has a specific, you know, Gase explained it to us today. Everybody has a specific package. And based on how your package does in practice, depends on whether or not you play. And based on what I'm seeing for the opposition is what package I'm going to use in the game. So it's nothing personal. It's like, oh, everybody go, you know, this isn't the same Jarvis Landry offense where Jarvis is getting 10 attempts per game. This is an everybody share, everybody care about one another type of offense.
Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel joins us here on WQAM. Rashad Jones missed practice Wednesday, limited Thursday and Friday. Do you think he's going to play on Sunday?
I know he wants to play. I'm not necessarily certain that it's smart for him to play. Here's my problem, the dance I'm doing in my head regarding Rashad Jones. Do you want to chance him playing in this game as opposed to his shoulder healing up a little bit, being less sore and less tender, or do you want to play him and possibly risk losing him for the season?
Ooh, yeah. I mean, when you put it that way, I think I've got to keep him on ice for a week.
Yeah, at least a week. You know, think about it. Rashad has been relatively healthy his entire career with the exception of his shoulders. You know, this
right.
isn't the same.
And this, yeah, right. I was going to ask you, this is the other shoulder, right?
This is the other shoulder, but come on, what happens to one happens to the other.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the simple law of medicine. And, you know, this thing is problematic, and it probably will be problematic for the rest of the season. Like, you could watch the game, if you watch the coach's film, and see Rashad was kind of shying away from contact. That's not his game. How can Rashad change the way he plays and still be Rashad? You have to give him a chance to get healthy and then give it a go. And then once he's healthy and he gives it a go, he can see whether or not he can deal with the pain of playing with like a shoulder harness for the rest of the season. But but pushing him out on the field when he's not 100% healthy, that's just a recipe for disaster.
You know, Omar, last season, the Dolphins only had 9 interceptions all year. Talking about the defense picking off passes, only 9 all year. They've already got 5 through 2 games. Does that tell you anything about the level of play being elevated, schematic changes, or might it be just a coincidence or based on the opposition?
I think it's a little bit of all of the above. They had good players to begin with from, Xavier Howard was still on the field, and trust me, Xavier Howard's a top 5 cornerback in this league. You'll figure that out eventually. so they had the players. Rashad Jones was always on the field. Kiko Alonso was always on the field. The ball just wasn't bouncing their way. I don't think they had enough opportunities in terms of, special teams, and maybe the offense wasn't putting them in position to be successful, because it's a complementary game. And right now, they're playing quite well together. I think it starts with the defensive line. I've thrown stones at them all offseason just because I looked at that unit without Rashad, without Ndamukong Suh, and I was like, well, where the hell is the improvement? I wasn't buying it, and and so far they've probably been the most impressive unit on the team. And you're starting to get pressure on the defensive line, and when you're containing teams, keeping them from running the football, it opens things up for everybody else and forces quarterbacks to make more aggressive throws. Last year, quarterbacks didn't have to make aggressive throws because, hell, they were playing on 3rd and 6 the whole game.
What do you make of this matchup with the Raiders Sunday? This is a team that, last year they faced off a Sunday night game. Derek Carr had 300 mm-hmm. yards. Jared Cook burned the Dolphins 125 mm-hmm. receiving yards at tight end.
Marshawn Lynch, 2 touchdowns.
That's right. And those faces are all still there in Oakland, but it has looked like to me so far this year like a team that's still kind of looking for an identity under John Gruden. So how do you feel about the matchup Sunday?
What's interesting is, to me football is a game about matchups, and I love these matchups for the Miami Dolphins. I have predicted this is going to be a win, but this is probably going to be the biggest win in my prediction of any that I have, just because your strengths play into their strengths play into your strengths. That's a recipe for, and you're going to be wearing black at 1 p.m. on Sunday in South Florida. That's just, you're just begging to burn up in the sun. So I'm really buying this being a big victory for Miami. It's the first game that they're favored all season. That has nothing to do with teams, or the odds makers buying into what they've seen from the Dolphins so far. No, it just has a lot to do with how bad Oakland has looked. Now, I will say this, that victory that Oakland pulled off last year, that victory and the Tampa Bay victory, both games at home, were, in my opinion, the 2 losses that ruined Miami's season. If the Dolphins had managed to pull off a victory against Oakland, they would have been playing in that season finale against the Bills with much higher stakes, winner goes to the playoff stakes. And, you got to redeem yourself from that, because that was one of those really, really, really hangover losses that lingered all season.
Omar, I spent a good chunk of my opening segment really praising Baker Mayfield, and the texters were jumping all over me. Oh, it's one game, Dono. Don't get too crazy. Uh-huh. I'm a prisoner of the moment. But listen, I watched Baker at Oklahoma, and I liked him then. I liked him last night, Omar. How good is that guy going to be in the NFL?
I'm a fan. He's on my man crush list.
Good. Mine, too. I'm glad to hear you say that, too.
But I will say this. Oh. His first game. Teams, like, you started to see a little bit in terms of how teams are adjusting to playing Sam Darnold, and he played a pretty decent game, but he made mistakes that rookies do, and they cost his team the game. That's what happens, and you're going to see the exact same thing happen to Baker Mayfield when teams start to get film on him and start to understand his strengths and weaknesses and start to study in him and start to diagnose and start to, be able to adapt to what he's throwing at them. So I'm not going to sit here and say that Baker Mayfield's going to be all world, but in time, he could probably be one of the best quarterbacks in this league.
So Omar Kelly.
I believe. I definitely believe.
I'm with you. Follow this man on Twitter, at Omar Kelly. Check out his work in the South Florida Sun Sentinel. And is there any other interest you can tell us about? Because we've talked about the gardening. You've talked about cooking in the past. Is there anything else that Omar Kelly might be up to during his free time that people would not expect?
Nah, just, you know, I'm a lounge guy, going out guy, concert guy. So, no, I like shopping.
Nice.
I like shopping for clothes, yeah.
And actually, I do have something I want to play for you, Omar. Okay. Like, I feel like this is something that if we can get, like, the Hard Rock Stadium DJ, if we can get a hold of him, I think this is something they need to start playing at Hard Rock Stadium after Ryan Tannehill throws a touchdown. I want you to rate this for me, Omar. Our own Tito Banach, who works on this show, he's not working tonight, but Tito Banach actually created what I think can be Ryan Tannehill's anthem.
Okay.
Let's get a build up. Just wait for it.
Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill.
Ryan Tannehill.
Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill.
Omar, I'm just picturing, I'm hearing it in my head, 60,000 plus at Hard Rock Stadium just chanting to that beat, Ryan Tannehill, after a touchdown pass. What do you think?
Unfortunate. Song.
Oh no, did we lose him? Oh, he was so hold on, you were breaking up there, Omar. I thought the music like took over your soul. Did we lose you there?
No. I said unfortunately.
Oh my god. Hold on. Sorry, you had me right after unfortunately it dropped off. So start unfortunately that's what?
I said unfortunately that song has the same Ryan.
This is crazy how the phone craps out right at this time.
Because I said sex. I said every time I say sex, it's like a mute button goes. I guess I don't know.
Yeah, seriously.
I am being watched by the FBI. So,
Omar Kelly, we appreciate your time as always, my friend. Enjoy the gardening this weekend, man. And I'll see you at the game on Sunday.
All right. See you. See you, Donna.
I love it how it's like every time he was going to give me his take on Tito's jam. Wow, people are even telling me in Spanish how much they hate that. So Hector, can you translate this for me? Because my translation, I'm not a native Spanish speaker. I would assume this person is saying this is the greatest song I've ever heard. This is what they typed. Música es muy malo. Ryan Tannehill, malo. That means the greatest song I've ever heard. Is that correct?
The complete opposite.
Oh.
Yeah. He's even saying Ryan Tannehill is bad.
Oh, so maybe he just he hates Tannehill but loves the song.
No, he said música es muy malo. So he's saying the song is bad and Tannehill is
bad. Oh, okay, I understand. I thought he said the song is fantastic and Tannehill is a franchise quarterback. That's what I thought that meant.
We got another heck no, too, so I guess it's not a big hit.
Oh, but then we get, this is bleeping fire comes in. So you don't know.
So what's up
with
Omar?
That.
It's been 3 weeks in a row that we have Omar on, and right towards the end of the interview, he always seems to just get muted or just his
you
phone
think that's like
off.
His way of like he's just deciding that the interview's over and he's and this may be a little out of character for him, but maybe like he's too polite to like tell me no, it's time for me to go. So then he just like starts messing around with his mute button just so that I get tired of talking to him.
I would assume so, but I mean every time it happens, his phone just craps out right towards the end of the interview around 6:38, 6:39, it just craps out every Friday, no matter what.
Here's another Spanish text I will translate. I'm pretty sure this means bleep, yeah, greatest song ever written. Diablos, no, para esa canción.
Are we speaking in Spanish here? I mean, that's kind of odd. Three different numbers with three Spanish texts.
I know what that one means. I know what that word means.
Yeah,
that means it's fire. I think that's what that means.
Right.
The Alex Dono Show continues next here on QAM. I think I might be giving people a new strategy for my Dono's top three weekend predictions that we do every Friday. I was so horrific last week, 0-3. You may want to start taking what I say and just bet the opposite, right? Can I be the George Costanza of radio? Like, whatever you hear me say, if I give you any sort of prediction, on the weekend. We're going to do that in a couple of minutes. Just take whatever I say and put all your Monopoly money for entertainment purposes only on the exact opposite. Reviews continue to flood in on Tito Benacci's ode to Ryan Tannehill. Texter writes in, song is perfect for Tannehill. They both suck. The idea is great. Play that song. I got to skip over the one that curses in Spanish. I wanted to read it, but I can't.
I thought you were going to read it.
I almost did. But I'm pretty sure, especially in Miami, I could get in trouble just the same cursing in Spanish as I would cursing in English, right?
That's correct. But like that's why we have a dump.
Look, if I were in like Madison, Wisconsin right now, like I could read like 8 consecutive curse words in Spanish. Nobody would know the difference. But I'm in Miami. I can't.
That's true. But that's why I have a dump button. And you have a Spanish speaker on the other side, so
yeah,
I can distinguish what is good and what is not.
You know what's coming. That was fire. I like that, somebody writes on the song. Más música. That is a positive Spanish text, right?
One of.
More music.
One of the positive Spanish. Most of them were pretty bad.
Tito's Tannehill song, much better than anything Maroon 5 has ever done, and would be much better to listen to at the Super Bowl halftime over that douchey band. That's a big Maroon 5 fan texting in right there. Ryan Tannehill needs to ball out consistently before we go giving him a song. Oh, see? This, my friends, this is the only opinion that matters. Dono, I am a DJ, and I want to play that Tannehill jam at one of the South Beach clubs. Hopefully chicks would be impressed enough to sleep with me. Over this, let's play it one more time. This is going to get you laid, this song. You play this at that club of yours, my friend, you're going to have to be shoving the women in the other direction. Wait for it.
Ryan Tannehill.
It's not even on the beat when he did that first one, by the way.
Ryan Tannehill.
It's on beat now.
Ryan Tannehill.
Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill.
Hector, I kid you not, I've had this in my head for Ryan the last 24 Tannehill. Hours.
Ryan Tannehill.
Look, I first heard this song about 24 hours ago. I've had it in my head ever since.
I want to counter it. I'm going to make a lyrical song for Tannehill.
So you think you can make a better song than that?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to get a Drake-produced beat.
Wow.
And I'm going to rap over it. I'm going to do something that kind of relates to it, you know, touchdown passes, one to Wilson, then you got Parker, you know, something along those lines.
See, like right there, I'm not saying you can't pull it off, but what might end up digging your grave is how complicated that sounds. Like you see what Tito did there. Somebody on Twitter described that as lethal in its simplicity, right? Like, there are literally two words in that entire song. Ryan Tannehill. And you're talking about like touchdown passes and stats and receivers. I feel like you might be setting the bar way too high.
I'll do it in Spanish. I'll do it in Spanish then instead.
We should actually do this. Ryan Tannehill song contest, somebody says. We could actually do that. We'll have to figure out what the prize could be, but we should, Tito may have motivated that. All right, it's time, my friend. Time to listen closely. I'm going to try and bounce back this week after a horrific last Friday. It's time for my Dono's top 3 weekend predictions.
It's time for the 3 most important things you'll hear today. Alex Dono's top 3 on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
Now, try not to let your judgment be too clouded by the fact that I went 0-for-3 last week. I consistently, up until last week, go 2-for-3 on my weekend predictions. So just bear that in mind, right? A little bit of an aberration last week, statistically. Prediction number 1. You got the Hurricanes facing FIU tomorrow at the Crib at Hard Rock Stadium. 3:30 p.m. kickoff, 11:30 pregame time. That's my prediction. The pregame show will start at 11:30. No, not really. But we have an 11:30 pregame time tomorrow. My prediction is this. DJ Dallas will have another 100-yard-plus rushing performance for Miami. The kid is on fire. And he and Travis Homer will combine for more than 180 yards. So not only will DJ Dallas eclipse 100 yards for the second straight week, he and Homer will combine for at least 180. I feel good about Miami's rushing attack tomorrow, and I think they're going to want to really establish that to burn FIU's defense into the ground by the second half. And DJ Dallas, to me, has emerged as the best guy in that backfield right now. Lorenzo Lingard, eventually, his time will come. But it's DJ Dallas time, my friends. Prediction number two. I don't know, Hector, tell me what you think of this one. Florida State will win. They will defeat Northern Illinois at home. But they will not cover the 10.5-point spread. I think Florida State ends up embarrassingly grinding out a nail biter against NIU by about a touchdown.
I wish your prediction would have been that FSU would have lost or will lose.
But I tell you, man, I don't make these predictions. The predictions make me. They come to me. I can't control it. It's a gift. I'm a medium to bad predictions. Now, if I told you FSU would lose, that would be ambitious. But I'm telling you, Northern Illinois will cover the spread. I think that's worth something. I think if you're a Florida State fan and you barely defeat Northern Illinois by the skin of your teeth, you're not feeling so great come the end of the weekend. Prediction number three. I'll give you a two-for-one here on the Dolphins' defense. I feel a lot of good, positive vibes around Bobby McCain. Like, you're seeing... Why are you laughing just at that? Like, Bobby, good player. Like, why are you laughing about me just saying I feel a lot of good vibes surrounding Bobby McCain? Like, what's wrong with that? Hialeah Hector is, like, crying laughing. I don't know. Like, is that really the funniest thing I've said today?
That is. So far, yeah, it is.
I don't understand why. Like, okay, so you've already seen TJ McDonald, Xavier Howard, Rashad Jones, Kiko Alonso hauling in interceptions this year. Bobby McCain is going to get an interception, maybe even two, but I guarantee you a Bobby McCain interception on Sunday. And I also guarantee you Charles Harris, again, will have zero sacks on Sunday. And I can start to continue to bring this up. How much longer is Charles Harris on scholarship? I mean, he is skating right now because Robert Quinn and Cameron Wake are so damn good. People were tweeting me yesterday. They forget that Charles Harris is even on this team. You realize that a year and a half ago, this guy was the 22nd overall draft pick, and he's got two career sacks. But Adam Gase keeps talking about how much he's improving. You can't necessarily measure what he does on the stat sheet. I would like to be able to measure what he does on the stat sheet.
He had a sack, but there was a penalty on the play. So
right.
His sack got negated. Yeah, but he did have a sack against Sam Darnold last week.
Well, he gets 0.0 this coming weekend, my friends. 7 o'clock hour coming up. 7:20, we're going to talk Canes FIU with Christy Chirinos from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. 8:40 tonight, we'll talk with the voice of the proud FIU marching band, former Canes marching band voice, Jason Mizrachi, wants to spew some FIU propaganda. Now, I don't mean that, but he will talk about the game. He's all in on this Butch Davis. Just like I was 18 years ago. The Alex Dono Show continues next year on QAM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.